Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. I'm not exactly what light came on, but all of a sudden, we're being overwhelmed on our Facebook page. People joining us from all over the country. Most Christian people just wanting to be a part of our Facebook page. Thank you very much. The response to our book, Invisible War on the Saints, overwhelming. Wow. Thank you very much. Your cards, letters, texts, things on Facebook, just so wonderful. Lots of good folks out there praying for us, supporting us. It really is a big deal. So in days where we don't even want to go on the radio, that's been most of this week, we'll do it. We'll pick up that mantle. We'll run to the studio and get the show done. Sometimes you just got to do it. We'll talk more about this at the end of the program on Life 101. But, yep, you got to keep on keeping on, beloved. It's easy to quit. Yep. When I was in high school, played basketball, before we would go out of the room there onto the court, big sign over the doorway. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. I really do believe there's something to that. What in the world is going on? It would just be absolute national suicide. What? Joe Biden winning the presidency. Former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr, he is still going at it with Donald Trump, says the re-election of this guy, Joe Biden, to the presidency would be national suicide. He was on America's Newsroom, the Fox News Channel program, yesterday when he made these comments. When asked by Bill Hemmer whom he would support in the presidential election between Donald Trump and Biden, Barr indicated, well, I've said all along, given two bad choices, I think it's my duty to pick the person I think would do the least harm to the country. And in my mind, that is, I will vote the Republican ticket. I will support the Republican ticket. He sounded the alarm about the most serious threat to this country. I think the real danger to this country, the real danger to democracy, as I see it, is the progressive agenda today. And as I said, Trump may be playing Russian roulette, but continuation of the Biden administration is national suicide, in my opinion. Well, absolutely. Total disaster if this guy gets back in. Question might be, what really is going on? Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel would decide whether and how to respond to Iran's major air assault over the weekend, brushing off calls for restraint from allies. Israel has vowed to respond to Iran's unprecedented attack, leaving the region bracing for further escalation after months of fighting in Gaza. Israel's allies have been urging Israel to hold back any response to the attack. Easy for you to say, right? The diplomatic pressure came as Iran's president warned that even the tiniest invasion of its territory would bring a massive and harsh response, that they're ready to wipe Israel off the map. Really. And the headline reads, Iran taunting Israel. You want more is the question? Can you imagine? Read your Bible. Talk about suicide. Are we talking months or years? I started talking about a civil war in America. The possibility of a second U.S. civil war is becoming increasingly more plausible, according to a new study, with additional insurrections even more likely. There are also striking similarities between the 1850s, the decade before the first civil war, and today, according to the team from California State University, San Bernardino. The American Civil War broke out on April the 12th, 1861, and lasted until April the 26th, 1865. It followed the secession of 11 southern states following decades of arguments over slavery. However, other issues that sparked the conflict included government reach, states' rights, and taxes. Writing in the journal Administration and Society, the team said, here our purpose is to compare the divisive decade before the Civil War on the one hand with today's hyperpartisan era on the other, demonstrating these two periods indeed have extensive and striking similarities. In the U.S. today, society is again split over issues abortion, immigration, guns, identity, politics. And here we are 4 years down the road and the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election still being called into focus. Is it a possibility? Many say yes. Civil war in America. So there's nothing the political establishment will not do, and no lie they will not tell to hold on to their prestige, their power, and doing it at your expense, my friend. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for one reason. Only one reason do they exist: to protect and enrich themselves. That was Donald J. Trump speaking the most forbidden truth of all just days before the historic November 2016 election that, to the dismay of the Washington establishment, made the brash billionaire an outsider, grabbing America's 45th presidential position. Today, as the nation approaches a truly life-or-death election, and it is coming to light that an extraordinary revolution has been secretly taking place in this country under everyone's noses, a revolution that could largely determine the outcome of this election. Consider the undeniable truth that not only Donald Trump, but also tens of millions of decent, law-abiding, American-loving citizens who intend to vote for him this November somehow inspire unending fear and loathing through the ruling class of Washington. That would include not only the ever more deranged Democratic demon-led party and the entire mainstream media, better known as the lefty loonies, really a virtual clone of the former Soviet Union's fake news programs called Pravda and Investia, which published only official government junk, but also the deep state, the permanent federal government bureaucracy that remains and grows ever larger every day, like the Blob. Remember that? When I was a kid, that's another story. Classic horror film. Regardless of which party is currently in power, it's the name of the game. And one key part of this monster permanent bureaucracy, which operates largely in darkness, has recently been dragged into the light, exposing its hidden but central role in the censorship and silencing all who oppose the deep state and its increasingly totalitarian agenda. That highly influential entity, about which most people know very little about, is the Federal Defense Foreign Policy Establishment, widely referred to within the Capitol Beltway simply as, it really is, the Blob. Former Trump State Department official Mike Benz, who currently serves as the executive director of the Foundation for Freedom Online, turned whistleblower and dramatically went public with exactly how the Western defense and foreign policy establishment has been turned against the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, and against democracy. It is all a part of the new America, my friend. And believe it or not, the U.S. government regards Christian conservatives, that's most of you listening today, you are an enemy. Get used to it. And here you go. After the Department of Education Secretary Miguel Cardona vowed to shut down Grand Canyon University, that's the largest Christian university in the country, GCU officials are pushing back. They told Fox News recently the crackdown stems from a deeply held bias. Cardona made comments during a House Appropriations Committee hearing about cracking down on GCU and other universities just like it. That was on April the 10th. Representative Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut asked Cardona, how is the administration working to shut down GCU, which she called a predatory for-profit school? Cardona openly embraced their enforcement methods, declaring, we're cracking down not only to shut them down, but to send a message to not prey on students. Last year, your department took action against Grand Canyon over the school's failure to accurately disclose its cost to students, driving up the true cost for students, requiring for them to pay for continuation courses, which they would graduate. Scam courses added about $10,000 more to the cost of education, blah, 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 blah. They are trying, this government trying, to shut down anything Christian in America. Imagine that, from its very foundation to this new America, which is a flood of demonic evil. So while it certainly is extreme on the one side, how about this? Orlando's increasingly woke Walt Disney World features various monuments down there depicting fictional characters thought up by men, but all this is something new happening. Outside the walls of the corporate imaginarium, an artist, a Catholic artist, is set to erect monuments depicting the historical figure whom billions of Christians understand not only thought up men, but saved them from sin and death and hell. The Catholic artist, Timothy Smalls, has labored for years on a series of life-size bronze sculptures of the Stations of the Cross, 14 representations of Christ's journey from his condemnation to his death and burial. That's going to be outside Walt Disney World. Interesting. And health news. Do you drink milk? Do you drink raw milk? Lisa Bass is a raw milk evangelist. Maybe you've heard of her. When you look at all the data out there and you look at what is a health-supporting decision to make, I think raw milk comes out on top of everything. Bass, a mother of eight who is known for her popular YouTube channel, Farmhouse on Boone, and blogs about homemaking, is part of a growing movement of free thinkers in America, eschewing processed milk and embracing the benefits of raw dairy. I think we're created by God, and there's a way everything was designed, Bass said. And if you take certain aspects of the food away, of course there's going to be other ramifications and other ways that it wouldn't be as healthy. It's as close to a perfect food. It's whole. It's good. You should be drinking it. Interesting, because on the other side of the fence, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say raw milk, one of the riskiest foods out there, could actually kill you if you're not careful. I am from the government, and I'm here to help. Hey, can this one be true? A recently retired school teacher is suing his Pennsylvania borough over a local ordinance after he was found guilty of putting a for sale sign in his legally parked truck. We put you in office as judges and state representatives to protect our rights, said Will Kramer. And when we see things like giving people tickets for putting a for sale sign in their car, violating our First Amendment rights, it's a sad day in America. He teamed up with the Institute for Justice, filing a lawsuit April the 9th, seeking permanent injunctions prohibiting his borough of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, from enforcing the ordinance against the traditional, low-cost, and effective form of personal commercial speech. A sign gets arrested. It's life in the new America. Well, I did a Google search of pastors' average earnings in America for a pastor. Do you know what that figure is? Kind of surprising. $48,000. A single person will need to earn six figures to live comfortably in most states in America. Comfortable, that's defined as a monthly income needed to cover your budget. 50-30-20. Allocating 50% of your earnings for necessities, housing, utilities, etc. 30% for discretionary spending, 20% for savings or investments. The income needed for each state was extrapolated based on the cost of necessities using data from MIT. Massachusetts, you need 116 grand there. In Hawaii, 113 grand. And in Washington, these are the top five. In Washington, $106,000 to live comfortably. Boy, most of us are not living very comfortably, are we? Well, I was listening to Hello World on WHCB last night, my own show. I thought I turned the microphone off when I was hacking away. I found out that I did not, so apologies to this radio audience. I guess that isn't the first time. Oh, beloved, this preacher. Yeah, not doing so hot here. We'll make it. And finally, who said that? Long time ago. I often hear it said, do not bring religion into politics. This is precisely where it ought to be brought. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Oh, this one is good and so very true. If the living knew what the dead know, the whole world would follow Jesus today. And someone has said, if you're looking for some non-essential workers to lay off in America, you need to head to Washington, D.C. Ain't that the truth? Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this important message. Got your copy yet? How about the new 36-part video series, Invisible War and the Saints, available at swrc.com. 36 television programs, 1-800-652-1144. Still holding with the book, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. Just heard from folks out there in Wichita. We're going to be out there May 3rd and 4th. They can't wait for us to get there and share some things and would like to have some private meetings just to sit down and talk about warfare. Dr. Copley and I will be doing that a lot in the days ahead in our seminars, helping you help others battle the enemy. We want to train folks how to do the right thing the right way. You know, we never arise to the occasion. We only arise to the level of our training. That would certainly apply to spiritual warfare. The question might be, what are you listening to? You know, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's an aged priest there by the name of Eli, and he teaches young Samuel one of the most important value lessons of all of life. The boy is hearing directly from God, and Eli is counseling him to reply, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," verse 9 and 10. This is how we too must pray before hearing the word of God. Before you go to church Sunday, you do that and your heart will be open to the word of God and prepared to receive the Lord's special message he has directly for you. The church can be filled with people and everyone get a different message. Listening prayerfully is one of two things we must do to open our ears to the message that God has for us today. The second is we are to listen with a purpose. Have you thought about that? Do you listen to God with a purpose? Namely, to understand who God is, to understand what God is like, to understand how God works, and to understand what he has to say to you and me today. Listening specifically for such information will help us recognize how we are to apply the message to our own lives. We all encounter challenges every day. Every minute of every day, actually. And a personal teaching from God will equip us to face any harsh realities coming our way. You know, the Israelites listened with purpose as Ezra read to them from the book of the law. And when they heard that the Lord commanded a nation to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, they quickly got busy doing his bidding. Purposeful listening results in action. Action. A church service, a Bible reading is never boring, never boring. If you understand the secret to how do I listen? We might arrive at church in distress, sorrow, depression. You're upset about something. But if we will surrender to God's word, we may come under great conviction while hearing that sermon. Then, though our outward circumstances have not changed at all, we can leave joyful at the work the Lord has done in our life. You know, I was thinking about Nehemiah. He demonstrates the power in prayer, does he not? As a servant to King Artaxerxes of Persia, he had no right to request leave to rebuild Jerusalem's walls, none whatsoever, much less to requisition materials and protection for all that time. Yet Nehemiah could act boldly since he had understood the nature of the God to whom he had prayed. That's something we need today. His prayer begins, "I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven." Lord, when it appears in all capital letters like it does here, denotes the word Jehovah, a form of Yahweh, the Hebrew name of God. It means God who is eternal in his being. Everything, everywhere is in his presence. We're reading here from Nehemiah chapter 1, first 11 verses here. So when God makes a promise, He already knows exactly how he's going to fulfill that promise. How he's going to keep this thing. That's why Nehemiah called him the awesome God who preserves the covenant. He knew God was committed to bringing repentant Israelites back to their homeland to dwell in his presence there in verse 9. The next Hebrew word, Elohim, is translated, he who is absolutely sovereign. This name refers to the Creator and speaks of his omnipotence. If he spoke the world into being, into existence, then he is certainly more than able to provide Nehemiah with a little wood and time off from work, don't you think? There are many other names for God, such as Adonai, Master, Jehovah Jireh, Provider, Jehovah Rapha, Healer. Since the Hebrew language is precise, it can help believers to better know who he is. When we need solace in our lives, we call upon the God of comfort. In our confusion, we have the God who teaches us, the foundation of prayer. That is our view of God. So the very foundation of our prayer, then, is the way that we view God. Do you view God that way? The all-powerful God, is there anything he cannot do? Is there anything you talk to him about that he can't give you an answer? I often say that, hey, Jesus is the answer. What's the question? It's not enough to mouth a few words of the Lord's Prayer. You've got to believe that God can meet that need that you bring to him today. That's why our understanding of him has such an impact upon our lives. First, our view influences what we ask. Specifically, the size of our petition is affected. People often say, well, I couldn't ask God for that, because they consider the request too big, too much. But what could be too big for an omniscient and omnipotent God, for crying out loud? We limit our blessings when we ask only for what we can accomplish with our resources. That's how we think. Rather than depending on him to provide the will and the way for all of this. And then secondly, our understanding of God affects our lifestyle. Recognizing that he wants to walk with us should produce the desire for a pure and holy heart. We know that living in deliberate sin short circuits our fellowship with God. Consequently, the way that we view God affects how we think, behave, and relate to other people. And finally, our perspective on God impacts our very faith. If we see him as some distant being who plays favorites, then we're going to not be able to expect much from our prayers. But if we realize he is all-powerful, an all-powerful Father who loves us personally, then we can pray with confidence. Then we will be heard. Knowing God intimately will transform our natural tendency toward doubt and sin into an underlying sense of immense peace and faith. Our prayers today, they're heard by a personal God, beloved. Have you taken time to really get to know God? And finally, wow, urgent warning coming to you tomorrow, actually. Aliens, they say, are coming to Earth. Their mission is to abduct all the good-looking senior citizens. I'm just sharing this to say goodbye to you all, and I got to go pack. I tell you, I'm sick in more ways than one. Come on, you need to laugh a little bit, my friend. It's a good medicine. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad in it, my friend. Hey, have you joined me on Facebook yet? I don't see your name there. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Tell others about the broadcast daily right here, 12:30, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So glad to have you on board. Well, that's it. I've had my say for another day, and that's the way it is. Thursday, April the 18th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless. Have a good one.